First Peter chapter 2 and verse 9 is our text this evening. First Peter chapter 2 and verse 9. But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, and holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. A chosen generation, a royal priesthood. These are the things that we have been called by God, as we've been called out of the world into his marvelous light, as we've been changed from being in the power of Satan to being in the kingdom of his dear Son. We have become changed. Christians are special to God. They are chosen. They are royal. They are holy. They are for God's possession for a purpose. Their purpose is to exemplify the excellencies of God. This evening we're going to talk about these chosen people that God has set apart for himself, different from others. They have a particular set of attitudes, attitudes that we all ought to have. If we are chosen people, we ought to exhibit some of these attitudes. If you're a royal people, if you're a holy nation, shouldn't you be proactive? Not simply reacting to everything around you, but being proactive. That is, with a plan from God for your life, looking at what you need to do and planning for it. Not just simply reacting to something every day, reacting to, well, this person has a need, and so I'll help with that need, but not truly being prepared to do that. We need to be proactive. Proactive means acting before you are acted upon. Many simply let life happen to them. They don't press forward in their study. They don't press forward in their relationships. They don't press forward in their commission before God. James chapter 4 and verse 17, if you will. James chapter 4 and verse 17, James says something that we that needs to be thought about, that needs to be placed on our hearts. He says, therefore to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. The one that knows to do good. That is, God has told him what to do. But he simply stalls out. Doesn't go forward in what he knows is right to do before God. You know to do good, and yet your plan for evangelism for your neighbor simply goes nowhere because of apathy, because you're afraid of someone calling you a bad name, or whatever it is. You fail to go forward, and you ought to go forward. We ought to be proactive. We ought to find ways to please God. The Bible is full of proactive language. Matthew chapter 5 and verse 16. Matthew chapter 5 and verse 16. We're in that part of Scripture that is the Sermon on the Mount. Matthew chapter 5 and verse 16. Verse 13. Ye are the salt of the earth. But if the salt have lost his savor, wherewith shall it be salted? It is thenceforth good for nothing but to be cast out and to be trodden under foot of men. Ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on an hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it giveth light unto all that are in the house. And here is the proactive part. Let your light so shine before men, that they may see your good works, and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Let your light so shine before men. Acts chapter 7 and verses 7 and following. Matthew 7, verses 7 and following. Matthew 7, verses 7 and following. Ask and it shall be given you. Seek and ye shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh receiveth. And he that seeketh findeth, and to him that knocketh it shall be opened. Or what manner is there of you, and if his son ask bread, will he give him a stone? Or if he ask a fish, will he give him a serpent? If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your Father which is in heaven give good things to them that ask him? Proactive. Ask. Seek. Knock. And we'll sum it up by the word do. You can't imagine this kind of passage being for someone who is just a pew sitter. You don't do anything but sit there in the pew. When you get home, you turn on the TV. I'm not saying it's wrong necessarily to turn on the TV, but that's all you do. You don't do anything for God once you leave the confines of this place. That's not the kind of person that is a royal person, a holy person, someone that God has chosen. Matthew chapter 22, verses 37 through 39. Matthew 22. Verses 37 through 39. Starting in verse 36, Master, which is the great commandment in the law? Jesus said unto him, Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment. Now, can you imagine that being someone that is passive, a passive relationship with God? You just listen to God's commands, but you never do any of them. You just know what God commands you to do, but that's for someone else to do. You don't want to get out of your mind and be proactive or anything like that. Talked to someone that I knew was going to a Christian university and asked them if they were going to take any Bible classes or whether they were going to try to be a preacher or not. I said, well, I like being a Christian, but I don't want to be a fanatic about it. Well, I didn't like that particular idea. I don't think it's being a fanatic to be proactive in doing the things that God would have us do. It is our whole life. Fear God and keep His commandments. It was the idea of Solomon as he summed up his life's work. We fear God and keep His commandments. Ecclesiastes chapter 12, verses 13 and 14. Can you think of anything that's more proactive than prayer? Prayer is the most proactive thing we can do. Mark 11, verse 24. Therefore I say unto you, what things soever you desire when you pray, believe that you receive them, and you shall have them. Proactive. That is, when we are God's people, and we take on that image of being royal and holy, a holy nation, and we ought to remember that we are a proactive people. There's a certain confidence to those that believe that we are children of God, that we are princes of the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Hebrews 13 and verse 6. Hebrews 13 and verse 6. A certain boldness when we ask about God or think of God or begin living for God. Hebrews 13 and verse 6. So that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper, and I will not fear what man shall do unto me. Can you imagine the Apostle Paul as someone that was not proactive or bold? I mean, this man who was chosen by God to go and preach to the Gentiles, that he had to have to wait for someone to point him to go somewhere. The Holy Spirit, you might say. But Paul was a doer, someone who had a plan and worked that plan. And he was confident in it. I remember hearing a story about Ira Rice Jr. He was, in some sense, a preacher to the Chinese nation, except they wouldn't let him in. He kept finding ways to get Bibles into China. And one other preacher said, we're carrying Bibles into China. Aren't they going to stop us and check us? He said, they might. But I prayed. He had done it before. He'd gotten Bibles in there in order that people who had those house churches you've read so much about, that they might have Bibles to give to the people that were in their congregations. Ira Rice was proactive. And he was bold. Was he afraid of being arrested? I suppose he was in some in some sense, but he was still going to go and send Bibles to China. But it's illegal there, so what? God wants the gospel to get to China. And if it could be done through him, he was going to do it. He had confidence. He had boldness. And so ought we. The early church prayed for boldness. Acts chapter 4 and verse 29. Can you imagine leaving a place and having been cursed and beaten? You're going to your home and reporting to others, and you stop and you pray, not for protection, not for sustenance, not for greater numbers. You pray for boldness so you can go out and do it again. Acts chapter 4, verse 29. And now, Lord, behold their threatenings, and grant unto thy servants that with all boldness they may speak thy word. Once again, not for protection, not for others to take the brunt of some of it. No, they were willing to go out and do it again, to speak, so speak that people may believe, but they may be beaten once again. We have no reason to fear man. Matthew chapter 10, verse 28. Man can only do so much to us, and then we die. A lot of people are afraid of death. I suppose we all are in some sense. And in fact, we're afraid of being burned. We're afraid of something large falling upon us. That's just natural to all of us. But are we afraid of the right things? Notice it, Matthew chapter 10, verse 28. Where should our fears lie? Jesus says it this way, "And fear not them which kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul, but rather fear him which is able to destroy both soul and body in hell." You go down a road and you have to make a choice. Go down the left fork or the right fork. The left fork is where it's easiest. You can see how easy the way is down to the town. But the right fork is where you've been told to go. And the right fork goes through the mountains and the ravines, and you might be beaten, you might be robbed, anything might happen to you. But you've been told to go that way. Which way do you go? Who do you fear? You don't fear those that could harm you going the left-hand way, and it could happen. But the right-hand way, you're protected for eternity. Maybe not in this life. But we have to come to the conclusion that we are going to be a bold people because we are a holy nation, because we are a peculiar people. God is our helper. Psalm 46, verse 1, God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. God is our helper. Philippians 4 and verse 13, the Apostle Paul tells the church there at Philippi, he tells them that we are a can-do people. We're not those that say, well, it's too hard, that the giants have come and we cannot go in, we cannot overcome. The Apostle Paul has the Philippian brethren believing this. Philippians 4, verse 13. He says, "I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me." Sit down and think about that for a while. Let your mind go wild. All the implications that could mean. Now let me narrow it just a little bit. God isn't interested in you building a temple out in the desert. He's not interested in how big a boat that you can have. Not interested in those things. But let your mind go wild with the possibilities of the technology of this world and the ability to get down the road and across the waters and to find people who will obey Jesus. Think about those things and then say, "I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me." Those are the things that we need to think about and be bold in what we do. Be confident in how we live. The Bible is full of proactive language and bold characters. Think about Moses. You think about Abraham. You think about Noah. You think about Joshua. You think about Joseph. You think about Daniel and any number of people in the Old Testament and New that went out on faith, doing God's bidding just because God said so. God that they suffered privation for God, but they could do all things through Christ who strengthened them. Be confident. We have no reason to fear man. God is our helper. We can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. Finally, Christian attitudes would have us to be humble. If we are a holy nation, a peculiar people of God, if we are what God would have us to be, then we would be a humble people, remembering that God is God and we are who are who we are. Humility prevents us from being overconfident. Luke chapter 9 and verse 48. Luke chapter 9 and verse 48. Jesus presents us with this. Luke 9 verse 48. And he said unto them, Whosoever shall receive this child in my name, receiveth me. And whosoever shall receive me, receiveth him that sent me. For he that is least among you all, the same shall be great. Do you want to be great? I remember when I was young, I wanted to be a cowboy. I wanted to be a firefighter. I wanted to be a police officer. You get the idea. We all wanted to be something better than we thought we were. I remember a program, I don't even know if you can find it anywhere today, Cowboys in Africa. Did anybody see that when they were young? There's John and Jim, and they're roping zebras and things like that on the African plain. It looked so cool. Wanted to be more than I was. Wanted to be a policeman. You know, my dad was a policeman. He would tell me about the car chases Mom would say about the boredom, and of course she didn't want anybody else in the family to be a police officer because she had spent too many sleepless nights with it, because Dad would tell her one time he got shot at and he had to shoot someone else on another occasion. Doesn't happen very often, but back in the 1950s it would happen every once in a while, even in the city of Austin. But we want to be something more than what we are. But what can we be? What can we be? Well, we can be less than what God is. We can be less than what Jesus is. Less than what the apostles were. But we can be still God's chosen nation. We need to remember that if we want to be great, that we must be the servant of all, not the one that gets all the praise and the acclaim. We are to be the one who serves. I will never forget one of my teachers at the Southwest School of Bible Studies. He had three postgraduate degrees. We would call them PhDs, but I don't think that's what they were called. I think they were doctors of theology. He had three of those degrees. And I can't get that picture out of my mind of him going down the hall with a plunger because something needed to be done in the bathroom. And he said, well, I'll go take care of it. He's the one with the knowledge and teaching and us guys should have been the one to get up and get the plunger, but he got up and got it. Humility. That was a picture for me that I will never forget. The N.B. Hardiman tabernacle sermons, those particular gospel meetings back in the 20s, 30s, 40s. I will remember one preacher who could have preached those things, but they chose Brother Hardiman instead, the committee that chose the man to preach. And they didn't want this other brother to be offended, and they go up to him and ask him about that, whether he has a problem with it. And he said, you know, for this meeting to be a success, I will push a broom. That always spoke to me as well. If you want to lead, if you want to be great, then be the one that serves. Be humble. Matthew chapter 5 and verse 3. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 25. Turn with me there, please. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 25. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 25. A man by the name of Moses had to make a decision. And Moses made this decision. Starting at verse 24. By faith, Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. Don't you know that as a son of Pharaoh's daughter, he had it made? the best of everything, the best education, the best doctors that could be available. He had the best position, the best protection, the best of anything that you could think of in the planet of that day. He gave it up. He gave it up for a purpose. It wasn't in order to be better in all those ways. It was to serve. That was what he was chosen to do. Choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. We are a chosen people. John 13, verse 4 is where we'll end. John 13, verses 4 and following. He ariseth from supper, and laid aside his garments, and took a towel, and girded himself. After that he poureth water into a basin, and began to wash the disciples' feet, and to wipe them with the towel wherewith he was girded. Then cometh he to Simon Peter, and Peter saith unto him, Lord, dost thou wash my feet? Jesus answered and said unto him, What I do thou knowest not now, but thou shalt know hereafter. Peter saith unto him, Thou shalt never wash my feet. Jesus answered him, If I wash thee not, thou hast no part with me. Simon Peter saith unto him, Lord, not my feet only, but also my hands and my head. Jesus saith to him, He that is washed needeth not save to wash his feet, but is clean every whit. And ye are clean, but not all. For he knew who should betray him. Therefore said he, Ye are not all clean. So after he had washed their feet, and had taken his garments, and was set down again, he said unto them, Know ye what I have done to you? Ye call me Master and Lord, and ye say, Well, for so I am. If I then, your Lord and Master, have washed your feet, ye ought also to wash one another's feet. For I have given you an example, that ye should do as I have done to you. Verily, verily, I say unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord, neither he that is sent greater than he that sent him. If you know these things, happy are ye if ye do them. We are to be humble, being the children of God. To have the attitude of the chosen generation, we must be proactive. We can't be those that simply sit, watch, the world go by and wonder what somebody else is going to do about it. We must be a confident people, confident that God is with us, confident that God's word is true, confident that there is a place prepared, confident that there are those out there that will hear the gospel and will obey the gospel, and that our work is not in vain. Confident and yet humble. We are not greater than our master. We are not those that give the commands. We are those that obey the commands. Are you part of the chosen generation today? Maybe right now your life doesn't match up with these words, proactive, confident, and humble. Perhaps you need to work on some of these things. And part of the gospel invitation is for us to change our minds and to go forward in life. Go forward toward heaven. Be more than we are today. And so I ask you to do that. Think on these things as you leave this place. It may be that you're not part of the chosen generation. You're not part of the chosen people, either because you have fallen from the good way or because you have simply have never got on that narrow way that leads to life. And we would ask you to do that this very hour. If we can assist you in your obedience, won't you come and sit on one of these front pews as we stand and as we sing.